Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be a part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447.
The U.S.-Mexican border is overrun by Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration, and violence. President Trump asked governors in the Southwest to send National Guard troops to the border to help out just until he builds a wall. Adam Laxalt said if elected governor, he will refuse President Trump's request to send Nevada National Guard troops to the border. But Ryan Bundy will work with President Trump and defend our border. Vote Ryan Bundy for Nevada governor. Paid for by Ryan Bundy for governor campaign.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four, hang out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Now less than 2 weeks away from Election Day, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by our friends at Tarkanian for Congress. We are continuing to follow the breaking news out of New York, out of Washington, what we think may be pipe bombs, suspicious packages delivered to the CNN Center in New York City, former President Obama in Washington, and in Chappaqua to Hillary Clinton. We don't know if any of these suspicious packages indeed have bombs, but they are being checked out by the Secret Service, by the FBI, and a whole bunch of people. And joining us now, he's a candidate for Congress in CD3. He is Danny Tarkanian, and he joins us in studio. What do you make of this? I mean, I know we fight like cats and dogs with folks on the other side, but have we gotten to the point now where we send pipe bombs to them?
Look, we're way, way past the point of a civilization, civilized society. You saw what they did in the shooting to the congressional baseball players and almost killed Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Sending bombs to presidents or former presidents. It's really amazing that the deterioration of our society. And I think a lot of it, there's a lot of reasons for it, but you see it on so much of the way people react on social media and the hatred and the vileness that's out there, the lack of being cordial to each other and understanding and listening to both sides. We're really going down as a society, and something needs to change.
Let me just ask you. I know I've not seen any coverage yet, so it may be afternoon. But you know the Democrats are going to say, "Oh, the incendiary rhetoric of the president at these rallies." You've been at these rallies. You've been talked about at these rallies by the president. You were talked about in Elko by the president. Does it incite people to do crazy things like this?
It's amazing the tactic the liberal left uses, because they say everything that they do, they blame it on the Republican side and in your statement this time with regards to the president. Look at how insightful were President Trump's comments when he said, got involved in the Michael Brown case and other cases where they end up finding out actually that Michael Brown was the instigator and tried to pull the gun out from the police officer and it was just a filed shooting. There was all kinds of rhetoric by President Trump and by the Democrat side. and I'm not excusing the rhetoric that's being done on the right side, the conservative side. It's wrong. We can disagree. My wife says this all the time. One of her best friends is the former committee woman on the Democrat side, Erin Bilbray, and her. They don't agree on very much politically, but they have great conversations and discuss things like adults do. And it's unfortunate that we've reached the point that we've reached it. The thing about President Trump is he's the first Republican candidate for the presidency that actually fought back against the attacks that were thrown at him. Don't forget what they did to McCain when he ran, Romney when he ran, Dole when he ran. I mean, they really destroyed their character. Hey, look, there's nobody's getting their character destroyed worse than me unfairly by the Democrat side. They just make up stuff and they lie about it and they create division and party politics. Now the Republicans have been doing the two. Maybe there was a time the Republicans had to say, hey, we're not going to allow this to go on anymore and we're going to stand up and fight back on it.
Well, you are fighting back. You fought back before. You won a defamation case. You filed another one against Jackie Rosen. You have expanded that to the DCCC. And now you've got a new ad just out. It's running on cable all across CD3. And it stars no less than your mom, a Democrat, Lois Tarkanian, who is a city councilwoman for the Las Vegas City Council. And I want folks to hear this, because this is you fighting back. Listen to this.
Susie Lee is lying about Danny Tarkanian, making claims that were proven untrue in court. Dirty politics can devastate a family.
I didn't expect it of Susie Lee. I mean, my God. Other people use these lies. Other people lost in court, and they don't care because you tell this lie over and over and over again, and people will believe it. And I don't think people realize what it does to the rest of the family. Stop the lies.
Powerful. Powerful. Powerful.
Yeah, the difference is that the Democrats are running these lies with about, the last 2 weeks of the race, they have $3.8 million in TV. They're running these same lies, including the one I've won the defamation lawsuit on and the one I'm going to win against Jackie Rosen. In fact, the judge said I had a likelihood of success in our initial hearing. But what do you get from that? Jackie Rosen ran those. She won by 1%. She would not have won that race without making up those lies about me. And now she's running for the U.S. Senate. She has a chance to be a senator because she lied to the people. And is that the best approach for our political system? Of course not. Susie Lee is doing exactly the same thing, even though I've already won one lawsuit. I'm going to win a second. She's going to do it again. Because you know why? The punishment to them, paying a small civil fine, isn't nearly as gratifying to them to win a coveted congressional seat.
Do you think that's a political strategy, though, that consultants say, hey, we'll get fined, you know, what are we going to lose in court? $500,000, fine, we'll take it out of campaign funds, and by then our candidate will be in office.
There is no doubt that Susie Lee's campaign decided that it would be much more beneficial and give her a better chance to win this race by reiterating these same worn-out lies, irrespective of the danger it would be of another lawsuit. First of all, she's got millions of dollars. She'll hire the best attorney. She'll drag it on for 5 years. And it wasn't $500,000. I won $150,000 in my lawsuit against Mike Snyder, but my attorneys took $130,000, so I walked away with $20,000, and he moved on as a state senator. Jackie Rosen, as we mentioned, moved on as a congresswoman, and now she's possibly going to be a senator. Susie Lee can't win this race without running these type of lies. She's on the wrong side of everything. That's why she won't debate. She tried to debate one time, and she was so bad that she's refused to go on again, and because she's on the wrong side of the issues. If you talk about the issues, what is she going to say about the economy? Does she want to change what's going on with their economy because she doesn't like what President Trump's doing? Well, that's a losing argument. Does she want to defend these caravans coming in across the border and have open borders? And as she was speaking at that rally where they had those signs that said ICE is a terrorist organization, is she going to win by calling ICE a terrorist organization and defending those caravans? Of course not. Is she going to win because President Trump is getting hostages back without having to give up hundreds of millions of dollars to terrorist organizations like Iran? Look, she loses on every issue. And so she can't talk about those. And Democrats know that. So they're running these type of ads. The sad part is people believe this stuff. And I was in Boulder City the other day campaigning. I was at this yard sale. It was a huge yard sale, though, and they brought in a lot of people. And these two elderly ladies, they were there, and I sat down next to them. We were eating, and I said to them, you know, I introduced myself, and they said, you know, we really want to vote for you, but boy, these ads concern us. Now, these are Republican ladies, and I said, well, what do you think they're true? And she goes, well, I don't know. Are they? You know, and then I explained it to them, and they said, well, of course they're not true. They, yeah, we'll vote for you now. The problem is there's only so many people a candidate can see personally, and I go out everywhere. I'm working my tail off. We're not going to leave a stone unturned that we have time to get to. But you can only get to so many people, and people buy these ads. And why they buy them, why they believe them, it doesn't make any sense. Can I got one more quick second. I could tell a story?
No, I've got as much time as you want, man.
Great. I went to my son's baseball game the other day, and he's 8 years old, and I went to the dugout to say something to him, and one of his teammates, another 8-year-old, says, hey, Jerry's dad. You know, my son's Jerry. I said, what's going on? He said, I saw you on TV. Well, you know, I'm waiting to see, did you see a good ad or a bad ad? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, they said you stole money from seniors. I said, really? I said, do you believe that? He said, well, did you? I said, well, isn't it against the law to steal? And he said, yeah. I said, and you saw it on TV? He said, yeah. I said, well, am I in jail? He said, no, you're at Jerry's baseball game. I said, well, do you think I stole the money then? He goes, well, no. Now, look, if an 8-year-old can deduce that, why can't the voters deduce that these things aren't true? Of course I'd be in jail, or I'd be running from the law, not putting myself on the ballot. Look, we win this race going away if the people understand that these things are lies. And I'll close on this. You can complain all you want, listeners, about the people that are representing you in Washington, D.C. You can call them liars. You can say how upset you are with them. But if you can vote people into office who lie to you to get an office, then why are you surprised that they lie to you once they're there?
Good point. Good point. More with Danny Tarkanian. We're going to get an inside of 2 weeks assessment of where this race with Susie Lee actually is. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue live and local now. Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
I am Andrew Patterson, owner of Patterson Custom Homes, and I am a client of City National Bank. A couple of years ago, my business was growing rapidly, and I needed a line of credit. But the bank I had been with since I was 2 years old saw me as just a number, and they stonewalled me. So I spoke to Mike Kilbride, a business partner of mine, who has hooked up utilities at every one of the homes I've built for the last 17 years.
My name is Mike Kilbride, and I referred Andrew Patterson to City National Bank.
Mike explained that City National is a relationship-based bank where they care about the individual. Less than a week after I met with the bank, I moved over all of my accounts, personal and business, and it was the easiest transition of my life. I have built over 170 custom homes, and that would not have been possible without the personalized service that City National provides for my family and my business.
The people you trust City National. Visit cnb.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Two men, two different paths. Las Vegas politician Steve Sisolak started as a telemarketer, hounding Nevadans with calls during dinner. Then he became a politician, first a university regent, doubling tuition prices on Nevada students. And later as a Clark County commissioner, where Sisolak was called corrupt by a judge, investigated by the FBI. Sisolak has reportedly handed out government contracts to his Las Vegas contributors. Then there's Adam Laxalt. Laxalt served our nation in uniform, volunteered for Iraq, taught at the Naval Academy, became America's youngest attorney general. Laxalt tackled opioid abuse, prosecuted elder fraud, fought for our local land and water rights, and has successfully led the way in protecting our constitutional rights as Nevadans. Sisolak and Laxalt. Which one for governor? Sisolak, who has always looked out for himself, or Adam Laxalt, who has always looked out for you? Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Although Republican State Assembly candidate Dennis Hoff passed away just 3 weeks before Election Day, his name is still on the ballot. And if he wins, county commissioners would have to appoint another Republican to serve out his term. That's why Republicans need him to win District 36, to keep Democrats from stealing the seat and getting a supermajority advantage. That would allow them to pass tax hikes and override gubernatorial vetoes. For more information, go to keep36red.com. That's keep36red.com. And 36red.com. That's paid for by Friends of Hoff.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Danny Tarkanian joining us. He's running for Congress in CD3 against Susie Lee. And just so everybody knows, you had to send her a cease and desist order, did you not?
Well, yeah, she was running the same exact ads that I won that defamation lawsuit on and that Jackie Rosen ran. We asked her to take down the ads. We didn't ask her. We demanded that she did. She arrogantly refused, so we sent her a cease and desist letter, which basically allows us to sue her and then recover what they call punitive damages, which is the large amount of money you can recover over and above what your actual damages are. If you don't serve the cease and desist letter, there is some interpretation of case law that you would be limited to regular damages. There's an argument the other way, too.
So in other words, you could still, after the fact, sue her for defamation.
Absolutely. And we plan on it. Absolutely. Look, someone's got to stand up and stop this stuff, and nobody else wants to take it on. And I'm going to take it on. This is, if I could do one really positive thing here, with respect to the election process, is to get the process where there's some actual truth that you're talking about that's being said. We don't gain anything by electing people because they lie the best. You elect people based upon, you know, what these people are actually telling you, and if they go back and do what they tell you. And that's one reason why I'm hope that I can get back to Washington, D.C., because I will do what I promised I'm going to do. You're not going to have me going back there and changing my positions based upon the political wind. And that's what we need from politicians right now. We don't need people that are changing their positions based upon where the political wind goes. I think the people that end up changing their positions are the ones that lie the most during the campaigns to get elected because they don't have the ethics or the honesty to go back to D.C. and do what they promised.
Yesterday was 2 weeks to Election Day. Give me your sense. We've had a few days of early voting. I early voted yesterday. I did vote for you. Where do you see the race right now just under 2 weeks out?
It's a combination type of election. It's a much more robust than a regular midterm, but it's not quite a presidential election with respect to turnout. Closer to a presidential election than it is a midterm. So there's a lot of enthusiasm on both sides. I believe you can't compare to 2014 midterm because the Democrats didn't have a governor candidate. Well, they had a governor candidate on the ballot, but he lost none of the above in the primary, so it made it real hard for Democrats to come out and vote. I look at where we're voting compared to 2016 and 2012. Republicans are voting much better, even though those were presidential years, they're voting much better than those 2 years. And with regards to me, and all I care about right now is me winning, so I'm focusing on my race. We lost 2016 by 1%, and every day how we chart and compare to that, and we've done significantly better in every day so far. The state, but we're still as a whole, the Congressional District 3 is not performing. Republicans are not performing as well as the rest of Clark County with respect to the Republicans turn out at a higher percentage than their voter difference. CD4 is performing really well. CD1's performing better. We're lagging a little bit. We hope that picks up.
The public polling that we have seen on the other races, the Heller race, the Adam Laxalt race, shows them doing really well and starting to pull away. Is that an indicator of what's going on in CD3 as well? I mean, we always talk about the top of the ticket and how it has a trickle-down effect.
Well, first of all, you have to believe those polls, and there's always skepticism with respect to any of the polls out there. I do believe you look at enough of them, you can get some type of a trend and some kind of an actual balance of what's happening. I don't believe Laxalt and Heller are pulling away at 6 or 7% ahead, but I do believe that they are now moving forward higher than where they were for most of the race, either up or down one or two. I think they're moving forward, from what I've seen in the different polls, in a higher number than that. And the positive is a trend. You want to be moving up when early voting starts, because that's where the momentum is going. And our internal pollings ourselves have been the same. We were behind after the primary, going into the general election in our polls. We did a recent poll, and we were up, but it was a very close race. I've heard of two other polls that have come out in my race also that both have me leading, although it's very close. But we're trending up. It's close. It's going to be a very close race for me. I think it's going to be close for Adam and Dean also. And we just got to get it's a turnout race. It's a lot of people have already made up their minds before even all the campaigning started. Either you love what President Trump and his America First policies are doing, or you disliked his rhetoric and you just don't want someone like that in the White House. There's a divide between the public. Who's going to get the most voters to the polls? Right now, I think the Republicans have had a slight edge compared to the history in the first 4 days. But Democrats normally vote more in the first 4 days, so they had a higher bar to reach. Republicans have to continue this on the dates that they actually do better voting.
I got 90 seconds left. I'm going to give it all to you. The caravan, is it going to help or hurt Republicans? Is it going to help or hurt your campaign?
Well, the people that care about the security of our country are going to be against this caravan. People that care about the well-being of Americans here first are not going to be in favor of this caravan. It's amazing to me how anybody can say this is okay, that thousands and thousands and thousands of people are coming to our border and going to demand entry, and many of them are going to try to sneak across the border before they can be fully vetted and make sure there's no risk to the people here in our country. I know Susie Lee has been in favor of this type of immigration before. It's something the Democrats would vote for if they get a majority in office. And clearly, I'm against it. I'm very strongly in securing our borders and protecting the American people. And I hope the voters will know that this is a big issue on who's going to control Congress. We're going to allow this type of activities to continue in our, to cross the border in our country if we're going to put a halt to it.
Final 30 seconds. If folks want to help you, money, volunteering, yard signs, any of that stuff, how do they find you?
They go to Tark, TARKNV for Nevada.com, TARKNV.com. Now's the time to do it. It's going to be over in 13 days.
Best of luck. We'll talk with you again soon. Maybe as a congressman-elect. Ooh, that sounds good. That has a good ring to it. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Wes Duncan's going to join us. He's running for attorney general. That is next, right here, live and local now.
Seven 90 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Hard to believe it. Less than 2 weeks to go to Election Day, and early voting is underway. I early voted. I am proud to announce that I early voted, and I voted for our next guest, Wes Duncan. And by the way, I was at Arroyo Crossing off the 215, and I got to tell you, it was crowded. It was crowded. Wes Duncan joining us, running for attorney general. And first of all, I have a good feel about this.
Well, Kevin, I'm glad I got one vote. Thank you.
Well, that's one you don't have to go out and campaign for in the final 2 weeks. Let me just ask you, where do you think the race is? We are now less than 2 weeks away. We're into early voting. Give me your sense of where we are.
Look, I think people are they are seeing what's happening nationally, and they're seeing a Democrat Party that's in complete disarray. And they're saying that there's a clear contrast in our race and all the races up and down the ticket. And so I feel like we're in a good position to win this in 13 days.
I want to ask you about breaking news. Suspicious packages found in New York, in Chappaqua, where Hillary Clinton lives, in D.C., where former President Obama lives. Suspicious packages. We don't know the extent of it as yet. Your thoughts? I mean, I know we fight like cats and dogs with Democrats and with liberals, but is there any place in our society for this kind of thing?
Well, Kevin, I mean, I think I'm a rule of law, law enforcement guy, and so there's absolutely no place in our society to have violence against people that you ideologically disagree with, and so we're at a tough place, I think, in our society when people think that they have to resort to violence on both the right or the left, and we don't know who did the packages or anything, but it's has no place.
I have not, because we just took to the air at 9 o'clock, and so reaction to what's going on in New York and in Washington, we still don't know the after effects of that. But I know that the Democrats, that they're going to come after Republicans and the president, saying that the over-the-top rhetoric from the president is inciting people to send pipe bombs to dignitaries. Is that a fair criticism?
This is a public safety issue.
And it's really a terrorist.
It's a terrorist public safety issue. There's no room for trying to politicize violence like this, and so. On either the left or the right, nobody should be trying to incite violence or using this as a political wedge issue. It's a public safety issue. It's a terrorism issue that has no place in our political dialogue.
Let me just ask you. I saw you on the stage in Elko, and you gave without notes a great speech, and you had the crowd eating out of your hands. One of the things you did is you criticized your opponent. On a number of different issues, but also the fact that he's been arrested 4 times. And is this the kind of guy you want as your chief law enforcement officer?
Well, this is a clear, this is a race where you have two completely different visions for where we want to take the attorney general's office. And the point that I've been making in the campaign is that I'm running to make Nevada the safest place to raise a family. We want a safer Nevada. And if you are going to be the chief law enforcement officer and the chief attorney of the state, you need to have someone that's got vision, that's got experience, who's actually prosecuted a criminal case, who's actually looked victims in the eye and dealt with cases, who's worked in the office and knows the inner workings of the Attorney General's office, knows what it can and can't do. And so my opponent has never prosecuted a criminal case. He's been arrested 4 times. While he was a state senator advocating $1 billion of tax increases on regular, hardworking Nevadans, he was not paying his taxes himself. It's the height of hypocrisy. It's I'll live by one set of rules and everybody else will live by another set of rules. He believes that burglars who break into your home, Kevin, and injure themselves should be able to sue you for their injuries. And finally, he's not willing to step on a debate stage with me and debate his vision versus my vision for this office and for the state. And so, you know, I think and I believe with everything in me that Nevada voters are going to reject his deceptive, his deceitful, and his desperate politics. And they're gonna go with someone that's got experience, who's got law enforcement's back. And that's the other thing. We have 16 sheriffs who've endorsed us in this race, 14 district attorneys, the Clark County Prosecutors Association, who I worked with in the trenches every day. They've endorsed me. 7 chiefs of police. We've got chambers of commerce. I mean, we have a broad-based level of support that's really unprecedented in this case, and it's very telling about his dark vision of where he wants to go with the office and where we want to take it.
Again, Wes Duncan running for attorney general against Aaron Ford. This is going to be a knockdown dragout because I saw one of the ads he ran against you or one of his associates or PACs or whatever run against you that you were auctioning off. You were auctioning off an AR-15, the same weapon that was used on 1 October. That was their charge. The fact is, the voice on the tape is not yours.
It's not mine. I was there with all of the Republican officials and candidates there. I wasn't participating in an auction for anything. I go to those events to meet voters and to talk about my hopeful vision for the future. And it wasn't me on there. So it's a superimposed photo over a voice of a state senator, James Settlemyer, who was actually the one that was the MC. He was just MCing the event. And so, look, I think it's desperate. I think it's the sort of gutter brand of politics that Nevadans are going to reject.
And it turns people off.
It turns people off, and it's I call it the 6 degrees of separation of you know, it's like trying to get you to run a negative ad against you for any thing that they can try to get you on. So look, it's gimmicky, and the fact that he won't step on a debate stage, and
did you guys have any debates?
None. He will not debate me. He will not debate me. And so,
what is he afraid of?
Well, I think he's afraid of the fact that he can't stand up and give a positive vision for where he wants to take the office. He certainly is not going to be able to account for his lack of vision and experience. And the fact that how can he stand up and stand by all of these ads that he's running? They're deceptive and they're dishonest. And so, you know, he'd rather... Just stay in his bunker and weather the storm and just hope that there's a blue wave, I guess.
Again, Wes Duncan running for Attorney General. Does Aaron Ford favor sanctuary states?
He does. Cities? In fact, he proposed he was one of the sponsors of a bill in 2017 that would have made our entire state a sanctuary state.
Wow.
The problem with that is that law enforcement, that completely takes the discretion out of law enforcement's hands. And so that is a huge problem for our state. And, there's a reason why nobody in law enforcement supports them.
I saw a report late last night that the so-called caravan may have grown to as many as 14,000, not 7,000, but 14,000. Migrants headed for our southern border. It's going to take them maybe a month walking to get to our southern border, so they're not going to get here before Election Day. But what should the president do? How do you turn back this invasion force and posse comitatus and some of the other laws that prevent the president from unilaterally just sending troops to the border? What is it he can legally do?
You know, that's a great question, and constitutional lawyers and scholars are taking a look at what he can do in terms of his executive power, certainly as an executive, and as the commander-in-chief. If there is a deemed threat against the country, certainly the commander-in-chief can take action. But I'm certain that lawyers who probably went to Yale and Harvard who are advising him are taking a look at that issue and giving him better advice than a guy on a radio show.
Let me just ask you, though, is this a an immigration issue, or is this Homeland Security? If you've got a force of 14,000 people storming towards our southern border and ready to overrun, ICE and Border Patrol, I mean, that's more than just an immigration issue. Oh, yeah, we got to fix immigration.
Well, I always look at, I hearken back to my experience in the Air Force and being in Iraq and having issues of who is coming across your borders in terms of national security imperatives and those type of things. And so, you know, certainly not only looking at, who are the people that are coming to the country, and you want to make sure that they're law-abiding citizens and they're not coming from other, regions of the world that might have terrorist ties and different things. So, it's a very huge, complicated geopolitical issue. It's certainly a country has to be able to to be sovereign and to make sure that they know and can vet who is coming in and out of the country for safety and security purposes.
I want to ask you, and this may be way above your pay grade, but I'm curious, as a sovereign country, do we have a right to dictate who comes and goes, who comes into the country, who we don't want? The president has said he'd like to have people from Norway coming in. Do we have a right, though, as a sovereign country to protect our sovereign borders?
Well, sure. I mean, every country has a right to protect and has a right to exist, right, and to enforce the laws of a country. And so, you know, per our Constitution, that's Congress working in concert with the president on setting immigration policies for the country in terms of deciding entry and exit and, you know, citizenship and all of those different things. That's the way the Constitution was set up.
Final question. You much was made at the rally in Elko, and by the way, your speech was brilliant there, that you had served as the number two under Adam Laxalt. I want to ask you, after working with Adam Laxalt, for Adam Laxalt, what did you learn in your time with the now Attorney General, maybe our next governor?
Well, one thing I tell people about my time with Adam is that Adam was not a finger-in-the-wind politician. He had a set of core convictions that were guideposts that would help guide him to decisions. Not that he was inflexible at all. He was a good listener, and he would take in all the data, and he would make a decision. But his question was never, what's the political thing that we should be doing on that? His question was always, well, what's the right thing that we should be doing? And so I think that's important, right, in leadership. For certainly for someone who wants to lead a state or lead an attorney general's office, that we're asking what's the right thing to do on behalf of the people in the state of Nevada. And so that was one lesson I certainly took away from my time with him.
I've got 2 minutes left in the segment. I'm going to give it to you. And I want you to talk directly to voters. And it may be voters that haven't really thought about it. They're just now coming around to say, well, what am I going to do? Who am I going to vote for attorney general? This Aaron Ford looks really nice. Who take as much time as you need and explain to the voters what you're asking of them.
Well, look, the attorney general is a role, it's a leadership role, and you have two primary functions. First, you are the state's top law enforcement officer, the state's top cop, and you are the state's lawyer. And so that position is a position where you need to be able to work with law enforcement every single day. The attorney general should be waking up every single day and asking the question of how can I keep people safe and how can I work with law enforcement to be able to keep people safe. I will tell you that as an Iraq War veteran, a current Air Force reservist, a prosecutor here in Clark County, and a person who worked in the Attorney General's office in the number two position for 2.5 years, I am ready and equipped to be able to take the reins and help try to keep our state safe. And we are, as a state, growing. And I will tell you, as we travel the state, I believe our best days are ahead of us. The best days are ahead of us. But we have to get the leadership part of this right. And that's what this next 13 days is about. This is a job interview for all of us. And the question should be, who do we think is a leader? Who do we think can keep us safe? And so, look, a guy like my opponent who has been arrested 4 times, who has 185,000 in IRS tax liens, how is a guy like that going to be able to have the credibility to lead law enforcement? Doesn't have a single law enforcement endorsement in the state. Has to run a $120 million budget, but can't pay the taxes himself. Wants burglars to be able to sue you. Has never prosecuted a criminal case. And won't even step on a debate stage to talk about and have a back and forth about his vision for the state and my vision for the state. And so I think the choice in this race is clear, and this is what I'll say too. I've got 3 children, 5, 4, and 8 weeks, and we are invested in this state, and I want to make sure that I've been able to look my kids in the eyes and said that I've done everything that I could to step up when I think the state was at a tipping point, and I believe our state's at a tipping point. We're either going to go the direction of our neighbor to the west, or we're going to continue to be a rugged, individualistic state that's open for business, that's ready for entrepreneurs, and the AG can help shape that legal and regulatory environment as well to make sure that this is a place where families want to come and grow and prosper. And so I'd be honored to have and grateful to have people's vote. Again, my name is Wes Duncan. You can read about us at wesduncan.com. We've got our Safer Nevada plan. We've got more info about me. But look, it's an election that, that there's a clear choice for Attorney General.
If folks want to help you, if is there stuff you still need done? Yard signs, walking neighborhoods, donating money. Is there still stuff you need at this late date?
Well, look, I mean, a political candidates always say there's never enough money, right? You know, because there's always another ad you could put up. There's always another door hanger you could put on someone's door. Or, but you know, certainly people can donate. People can donate their time, right, by going to any GOP office and making calls on behalf of our race or doing anything like that. And so. We are, you know, poised to win this race, and there's a great enthusiasm behind our Attorney General's race. We're really excited. People respond to a safer Nevada. They respond to trying to address domestic violence, mental health, addressing hopelessness in our communities, working with law enforcement every day to make the state a better and safer place. And so we're excited about the momentum of this campaign, and we're going to carry it to November 6th.
This past weekend, you were on the same stage as the President of the United States. Was it your first time to meet him?
First time I ever met him.
What'd you think?
First time I ever met a president.
What did you think of him?
Well, he is the same in person in a private conversation. I didn't meet him on the stage, but we met
green room.
We met him, yeah, after the fact, and yeah, he's just friendly, and he just kind of joked around with you, and you know he literally is the same guy. Behind the scenes, as you see on TV.
And it was weird because we interviewed him within 4 minutes of him getting off the stage. He was on a phone with us, and we taped an interview that we aired on Monday. Same thing. He's just like he is on stage. I mean, he's not a different guy. He's just a nice, friendly guy.
Yeah, same guy. So what you see is what you get.
You going to do a statewide tour in these final 13 days? What's the plan?
Yeah, so we did 6 events yesterday. We're wow. Pounding through events today, and we will continue. We're going up for the Nevada Day Parade this weekend, and then we'll continue to tour the state and head into Northern Nevada and going through Winnemucca.
You
going to
be up on TV?
Yeah, we're up. You mean for advertising?
Yeah, for the final 13
days. Oh, yes, yeah. We got the resources to keep it going.
Okay, very best of luck. Safe travels. I know you're going to be all over the state. Ours is a statewide audience, so their folks are going to be hearing you in Battle Mountain and different places. They're going to say, "You mean he's going to be here?" Yeah, you probably are. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
I appreciate
a lot.
It. And good luck, my friend.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
And by the way, you got my vote, so that's one you don't have to
Perfect.
Battle for. Okay.
Thank you so much.
That's Wes Duncan. He's running for Attorney General. As we continue, it is live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herline. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4, paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Coming up in our next hour, we are what? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're 5 days in to early voting. Okay? 5 days into early voting. And I want to find out what your experience has been. I voted yesterday about, I don't know, after the show, 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that, at Arroyo Crossing. Near the Walmart over at Rainbow and the 215. And I got to tell you, the place was packed. But you know what I didn't see? I didn't see poll watchers. And that scared me a little bit. I mean, folks that can challenge the eligibility of somebody trying to vote that shouldn't be voting. Anyway, stick around. More to do. We'll get to your calls on the other side. Did you already vote? What was your experience like? First person reporting. Here's the number, 844, the number 2 Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I trust Adam Laxalt to protect Nevada's identity and our values as governor. As attorney general, he protected us from sanctuary cities and threats to free speech. His opponent, known as Shady Steve Sisolak, was called corrupt by a judge for trying to give government contracts to political cronies. He claims every tax is on the table and plans on raising our property taxes. As governor, Adam Laxalt will keep Nevada prosperous and free and keep us from turning into California. Early voting begins October 20th, paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.